Well, today I want to address a subject that I think all of us at times have fallen short of. Certainly I know I have. And for those of you who take notes, our title this morning is, which we're going to talk about, Are We Still Concerned and Worried About the Trivia? Are we still concerned and worried about the trivia? That's the question. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we'll also look at verses 8 to 9 as well. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now again, the nature of this in which we're looking at is dealing with our attitude, the mind, the thinking, those things that we dwell and think upon. That is what we're dealing with today. And most of our concerns, let's face it, if we're to be honest, are quite trivial with regard to eternity. What you are going through, or what you are facing in light of eternity, what you are destined for, really is quite trivial. And most of us have to bow our heads in shame. Yet why is it it still tries to consume us? Why is it that it tries to take our minds, our attentions away from God? Why is it that it burns up so much anxiety, energy, frustration in us, that these anxieties can cause us to lose our sleep, even to open the door to sickness? The diseases that we see around today, why is it the enemy can still get our attention in these areas and hold us and paralyze us for a season till the mercy and grace comes along, which he always does, and then releases us and delivers us? And in that deliverance and release, we then begin to think about, well, why is it I just entertained those thoughts and allowed the devil to control me? Why do I do this in the light of eternity, and yet we still let them control us? And the results are this fear, anxiety, depression, and so on. And they are fundamentally the three major areas that still control and attack the house of God. I'm not on about the world, but I'm on about the house of God. Fear, anxiety, depression. They're the main three things. Well, let's turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So what does anxiety in the heart cause? Depression. That's what it causes. I still call it depression. They like to call it different names today, but it's fundamentally depression. And what is the key to it? What is the doorkeeper to it? It is anxiety. See, the Bible will tell us we don't have to go rushing to psychiatrists and sociologists and you name it. The Bible will tell us if we want to know. That is why we don't have to run to the arm of the flesh. God has provided everything through the Holy Spirit, through his word, who will teach us. And I always take great comfort when I come to the house of God and I have the word of God ministered to me. I take great comfort because if God is addressing something, whatever he's addressing week after week, well, praise God, I'm going to change. Because he's highlighting it, he's bringing it up for a reason. And he always provides healing, deliverance, salvation in the anointed word that he gives. And that is why it is so shameful for us if we hear the word of God, and yes, it has our name and address on it, and we go away utterly depressed, down, hopeless. Because God never leaves us like that. If God highlights something, he does it for a reason, to set you and me free. That is why. Now, whether we choose to believe that or not is entirely up to us. But it is always there in the word of God. And that's why I keep saying over and over again, your answers, your questions, your problems are in the word of God. Stay with it, keep coming, and your day and time will come. And it does. Even though it tarries, wait for it. The vision will come. Not only the vision for this church, but the vision for your life, the future that God is showing you. Hang on, stay in, and it will come. God is faithful. How about Matthew 6, verse 25? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 onwards. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at all the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Let's carry on. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit of his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will still worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day its own trouble. What is the key word in all of that keeps coming up? Worry, worry, don't worry. Like the Gentiles do. Who are the Gentiles? That is the unregenerate. And he says you're acting like them. You live like them. You do the same things like them. You are different, or should be. You are, although you're in this world, you're not of it. You are not controlled by the things of this world like the world is. There's a different order working in your life. There are different affections. You have a different vision, a different outlook. God says, don't worry about where money is going to come. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about your career. Don't worry about what you're wearing or what the Gentiles are doing and so forth. God will supply. He's trying to release us from these things. Why? Because they are trivia. That's why. in comparison to eternity. There's nothing more trivial than you worrying about your clothes. For God says, I will give you all that you want. The trouble is we don't believe, particularly some of you sisters. You still think God is going to dress you in 1950s style. And you come to church with a bum and dresses right down to your ankles, like plain Janes. Of course he isn't. God isn't like that. God wants you to look attractive. He wants you to look pleasant. But what he says, he doesn't want you to worry about it, to be controlled by it. That's the difference. Because the Gentiles out there, particularly this generation, we are controlled by the way we dress, by the way we appear, by the way we come over. We're controlled by designer labels. And so it goes on. We're controlled by all these things. Let's just take, for example, I was reading something the other day. This is trivia, if you like. Some actress, which I won't name, is very upset because she went to her clinic for her usual Botox boost, and they advised that she shouldn't have this time because she's pregnant. It might not be good. And so she agreed with it. Oh yes, it could harm the child, but she was still angry that she couldn't have her injections. Where are we coming to? That is trivia in the light of eternity. And I could just go on. And you read all of that stuff in the papers and gossip columns and so on. And so much of it is absolute trivia. And that has really hammered home to me since coming back from India with what I have seen. And I've only seen very little compared to what is really going on out there. And yet we can still be so controlled by it. We get so upset, don't we? Come on, get a life. But get that life in Christ. That's the most important thing. You see? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they're driven by that. That's how the Gentiles want to live. That's how they're controlled. You know? I tell you, the cosmetic media today and drug companies, they are raking it in with their new products, trying to rejuvenate and make you look younger and so forth. Now, it comes back to a balance. You can make yourself look pretty old if you want to. And depression will do that. Anxiety will do that. And here they are paying out all this money to try and rejuvenate themselves, but they can't get to the root of the problem. That fear, that anxiety, that depression. Those three major things, it will make you look old before your time. They will. Do you want to look young? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of Jesus, whom you walk with, express and come out of your face. That'll slow down those old wrinkles. Because the Lord renews our youth like the eagles. No, I'm not saying that sisters cannot use makeup. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. So listen, everything is a balance. It's a balance. And so this key word that has come out is worry. And the nature of worry, anxiety, is one of the biggest hindrances in our relationship with God. Why do I say that? It's simple, because unbelief is attached to it. Unbelief is attached to worry. Unbelief is attached to depression. Unbelief is attached to anxiety. It is. Because if you're truly trusting and believing God, then you get deliverance from that. And God is going to show you if you're getting deliverance from that. And how does he show you? By your trials. Your trials are going to tell you where you are. Your trials are going to tell you, hey, I got pretty anxious about that. Wow, you know, I really, something just took over. Yes, you do feel paralyzed. Yes, you wonder where this has come from, but that's where you turn to God with that anxiety. If there is fear that still grips you, that is where you turn to God who is working that deliverance. And your trials are your deliverance. That is the whole point. And if you can stay with that and see that what you are going through, that is my deliverance, then you can count it all joy. Yes, it's hurting, but you can count it all joy because your faith is saying, this is setting me free so that I cannot be held anymore by this. That is the point, you see? And that's why I can hold on, because God is delivering me, so I'm no longer going to be paralyzed by this, controlled by this. For whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. That is what this is all about. And very often it's the trivia that can so hold us. You know, we say sometimes, it's the little things in there. It's so insignificant. Many divorces have happened because it's so insignificant. That's the shame of it. We call it the little foxes. It's what the Bible calls it. How they spoil the vine. And so, with this worry, anxiety, fear, it is not only a hindrance to our relationship with God, but these are demons that are attached to all of this. And this is why there's so many mental disorders. And with all due respect, as a pastor who's ministered over the years, I can speak from experience with regard to this. With deliverance, not only in my own life, but ministering to the saints, and wherever I go, and the invitations, or you go wherever you go and minister, you're dealing quite often with this anxiety, this fear that so dominates and holds. It's what if. And not only that, but this holds sickness that is attached to it. So much of sickness that is found in the house of God is often attached to fear, anxiety, depression. Some of the major sicknesses, and I don't have to tell you what they are, heart, blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, they're just to name a few of the major problems that even NHS faces week after week. And I'm sure Sister Sue here will back me up on that. She faces that day in, day out. But what is the root of all of this? It's the fear, the anxiety, the depression. What are some of the anxieties? You don't know the debt we're in. We're up to our eyeballs in debt. And all we can seem to do is just have to borrow more and more to get out of it. So that opens the door to anxiety. And then the depression starts to set in. And what does that depression do? It then causes anxiety within the family. And the husband and the wife are arguing and bickering. And so it affects the children. Devil knows exactly what he's doing. I would say that probably 70-75% of the problems in family life today and the breakups of marriage, 1 in 3, is related to do with money. It is. Money's attached to it. And so what do we see today? Because money is one of the major problems. And because it's one of the major problems, it's because it's where people keep borrow. We have a credit problem. They call it the credit crunch. All based on money that is borrowed that man fundamentally cannot pay back. But what has caused that? Fear, anxiety, depression. The very things that God is trying to get you delivered from. You may say to yourself, it's all right you saying that, but you don't know my circumstance, you don't know my situation. Well, whatever your situation is, I'll tell you what is the problem. It's one of those three that's been hindering you. And it so hinders you that it takes your eyes away from God. And what does it do? It hinders your relationship with God. Now, God has promised. All the provision is there. But what you're doing is, you are allowing those 3 month fundamental demonic depressions to come in the way. And what do? You run away from God. And God's saying, what are you doing? Why are you running away? Because you're allowing it to. You see? They keep you out of the presence of God. And when you're out of the presence of God, blessing then cannot flow. You cannot seek first the kingdom of God as you would want to, because you're too consumed about the things of this kingdom that occupy your mind and energy and time. You'll know when you're breaking through in this. And one of the major things how you'll know is because you won't keep praying about it. That's one of the ways you'll know. Because you begin to just seek God, and in that seeking God, you know all my needs, they will be met. I don't have to keep talking about them. I don't have to keep bringing it before Him. So that then disposes you to be able to pray and intercede on greater things, things of more importance. You see? And of course, the enemy will try in a religious way to try and keep you occupied in these things. He'll try and do it. And if he will suggest to you that if you don't seek God about everything, like your clothes you wear, what you eat, where you go, your journeying, going out and coming in, step, praise God, God is faithful, He meets us where we are. But I know some people, they've got to pray about everything, to the smallest trivia. And God's trying to say, look, hang on, don't I know you need protecting? Don't I know you need feeding? Yes, you can thank and praise me. Yes, great times. This is why we come and worship God. That's why I say God loves thanks. He loves praise. And all of that is our gratitude for what He's done and is doing. But don't be consumed by it all the time. Move on. And start taking on real intercession. Start taking on the prayers for this church. Or if you see needs, praying for things that are so important, that aim for the future. That is the point. But the trivia will always keep us bound, inward looking. It keeps us selfish. There are a lot of believers who are very selfish in their prayer life because they can't move beyond praying for themselves, their own needs and their wants. You'll only go so far with that. And this is why there's this stress, sickness, depression, this fear. So, moving this a step further, what are the things then that can so often get us down? The trivia. What are some of these things? Someone's taken my parking place. Who do they think they are? And so you can get real anxious about that and you start to become paranoid. See? That fear. That's fear that makes people paranoid. And so some people, you know, they'll put their little marker there. But of course you're not allowed to do that if it's on a road or on pavement. Or they may just keep their car and decide to walk everywhere, or whatever it is. But people are held by that. They're held by that. You can see it sometimes if you go to work. That's my place. Well, you sort of turn around and say, well, where's your name? I can't see your name there or your number. Well, I always park there, you know. And so it goes, we're territorial. People who worry over trivia are also very territorial. My rights, my wants. How dare you? See how it comes out? Sometimes we get very upset with the trivia because that person doesn't speak to me properly at work. I'd like a bit of respect. And so they get very upset about it. And will sulk about it or be very moody toward that person. I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about the world, because you'll see that in the world. But very often, sometimes, it might be the trivia. Just they don't always say thank you. As I keep saying, every day, whatever we face, whoever we face, whatever we do at work, you are there to serve. And if you get a thanks or acknowledgement, then that is the grace and mercy of God. That's an added bonus. But the question is, do you depend on that? Do you feed off that? Because that's the self-ego. That's the self that still wants that recognition. And I'm not to say that we're not to recognize people. I have clearly taught you over the years that if people give you something, you should be gracious enough to thank that person. Even though, yes, it's come from the Lord or whatever, I'm still for manners. But the point is, if it doesn't matter. That is the point. We can get irritated by people sometimes who are always late. Some people are just late. Well, pray for them. But we can still get irritated by this. Yes, Lord, I am listening. How about children? After the house has been cleaned, come straight in with shoes, bring muck in. Why don't you take them off at the door? You know? And get upset. Now, I'm not to say that children shouldn't do that. They should respect. They should respect their mother who cleans that house. But we can so get irritated, can't we? We can so react wrongly, you see? And so, in that reaction, the children don't really ever learn. Because you're trying to teach them out of you reacting. And it doesn't work. Best thing is to walk away, just give it over to God, and when you calm down, then go back to them. And then they'll listen. Because children will never listen to father or mother when they are dealing with them because they're reacting. But we so often do. That is human nature. So God says, I've given you 2 feet, just walk away and come back when you cool down. That's the trivia again, and often it's very little things that can spark off a major row. It can be so many things. Some, when you call them for a meal, the family for a meal, they just don't turn up, or one's always late. You know? You can so react by that. And cause such a family feud. There's just so many, many things. I'm talking about just little things, the trivia. And so on. We've got to confess these areas. We've got to confess these sins. And there are a lot of them. And you've got a list of them, if you were to be honest, where you just get upset, niggled about quite often small, insignificant things. We've got to confess this as sin. The trouble is we've not really. You know, we just sort of see it as the trivia. But what you've got to see behind that are that there are anxieties, there are fears, there is depression that is trying to work. See, Satan is always working with something much bigger behind what he's trying to work with. See, that's the nature of how Satan works. It might appear a little insignificant, quite small, but what is really fundamentally behind that working is much bigger. And so you see, if you allow the trivia to start to affect you, to start to take over, you then begin to find it begins to mount up. It can get worse and worse because you're dealing with relationships. Or maybe if, the son in the family, he's done something insignificant, but it's upset the wife, and the wife wants to talk it out with the husband, and the husband's turning around and saying, "What's your problem?" and so forth, then that's immediately creating a problem. Because she's then thinking, well, why is it he doesn't see this and I do? I can't tell you how many times I've ministered to sisters who are married and say, the husband doesn't see it. And it so frustrates me. You know? And again, it's something very trivial, very small. But it's now got to this stage, and she's now becoming quite anxious, and she's opening the door to depression. And then that depression starts to work, and it begins to work a wedge more and more in the relationship, you see? And so it goes on. We have to watch these things. Yes, it may be. It may be because Johnny isn't doing what he should be doing at home. But the point is, that is where in prayer you can bring these things to God. You can tell Lord, Lord, this is upsetting me what he's doing. I know it's trivial. The husband doesn't seem to see this, but I do. This is upsetting me and I'm losing it. Please help me, because I know the enemy wants to bring something bigger behind this to try and put a wedge and break up this family. And he'll try. He'll try. And this is where you have to confess. You've got to bring it under the blood of Jesus. Once you've done that, the deliverance is on the way. But we don't do it. And the reason we don't do it, because we often think it's too trivial. But it is the trivial that starts as a small mountain that finishes in a huge, gigantic mountain. That is the point. See, Satan is subtle, isn't he? Very subtle how he works. And you know, very often the Holy Spirit is highlighting these things with you. So it's not, we can't take on that attitude, oh, here we go, you know. One can almost become paranoid by this. If you think of the trivia, well, I could think of 100 things each day that can upset me. And probably it's true. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That is why he can work with what is impossible with us. He makes it possible. So that these things can be kept account. We can bring them under the blood of Jesus. So that we can be kept free from this depression, this anxiety, this fear, and unbelief that goes on. It's so easy to open the door to these things. That is the point. And you see, life is so like it is. There's so many things attached to the spirit of this age with fear, anxiety, depression. There's just so many things. Just the very pressure of everyday living. Things that need to be done through the course of the day. A lot of them of which can seem quite trivial. And yet you know they've got to be done. You know the bills have got to be paid. You know you've got to write that letter. You know you've got to go or see someone or whatever it would be. It's all got to be done. The chores in the house. Things have got to be done. We meet it every day. You see, as Christians, we're not going to escape that. But God can teach us how to sort of just move through it without being affected, held and controlled by it. That is the point. And your trials are bringing this deliverance from the spirit of this age. And I am so convinced now, as I bring this to a close, that in similarities, like the children of Israel who were held under those bondservants, the Egyptians, And there Pharaoh was making it harder and harder for them. And God was beginning to work to release, to set God's people free, because he knew how much they could take. He knows how much we can take, he knows how much you can take. And it's just the everyday things of life that we have to face. But they can get so burdensome. And I'm finding that the more complex life is becoming, the more bureaucracy is attached to it. You know, man likes to boast in new developments, new technology. But every time I hear that, I think, oh yes, it's all right. But that's all got to be run. That's all got to be monitored. That's going to take staff. It's all very well having these new gadgets and gizmos and these miracle things that they talk about. But it's got to be run. And it goes wrong. I mean, let's face it. You know, they want us to buy these latest electronic things. And you can go to the shop and you can see it is packed with all the latest electronic technology and everything. And the moment you go and buy it, oh, you better take an insurance out. You better have an insurance. So I say to them, hang on a minute. Why do I need an insurance? Oh, it can go wrong, you know. I said, well, that's not much assurance to me then. I said, you're supposed to be selling me a product. Where does the customer come in here in this? And they sort of look at me as though I'm somebody from Mars. That I can actually question it. That I can actually say, well, aren't you supposed to be selling me something? Then you're telling me I'm to have an insurance on top of that. That doesn't give me much assurance that what I'm buying is a really good product. Think about it. I'll tell you something. Last week, I had to have a new Visa card. And to put that Visa card, I had to ring a number to set it in motion. So I ring the number and then tap the number in and so forth. And yes, the card's now been accepted. Will you just wait a second? And then I'm put through. And then I'm put through to a man. And he begins to say to me, do you know anything about your card you've just set into operation? I said, well, yes, it's a Visa card. He said, are you aware of fraud? And I thought, here we go. And so I told him a little bit about fraud and everything. And he said, do you know that your Visa? He said, do you know that somebody can use your Visa? They can get your name. They can get information on you, and they can start using your Visa card. I said, yes, I'm aware of it. Well, to save you from that happening, we have an insurance, and you can take this out, and if you like, I can take your number, and we'll debit it from your... I said, hang on a minute. I said, I thought the bank was selling me something. This is a product, is it not? Well, yes, it is. I said, the bank is quite keen to give me this Visa card to use. I am assuming that this Visa card, and they take their profits from it and charges. I'm assuming that I am buying something that is foolproof. No, it's not foolproof. Then I said, I'm not interested. Well, he said, that's how we live today. I said, well, you can't convince me. I said, you need to have an insurance for everything today. I said, is there an insurance now for crossing the road? I said, where does it end? Oh, well, that's a good point, sir. I said, it is a good point. He started to agree with me. I said, you do not realize, and I said, I'm not just getting at you. I said, there is a recession in this country. I said, we've not yet been presented with the bill that we are going to have to pay, which is horrendous, that is going to take some decades to pay back. And I said, you people who are trying to sell all this stuff, I said, you're in for a very rough ride. And I said, you're going to have to rethink. Of course, we know what is going to come in, the rethinking. We know what, of course, it's going to be. It's going to be the mark of the beast. That's the only way they can get around all of this stuff. And I can tell you, and I base my ministry on this, that this recession that is hitting, and it's not only hitting this country, it's now beginning to hit Europe. They're concerned about America, Portugal. We're seeing now the euro is falling and everything. This is all engineered. This is all planned for it to fail, so that the only outcome is that man has to take the chip, the mark. You can see it all happening. You can see it happening. Because he's not going to have money to be able to pay for insurances when recession really starts to hit. Unemployment goes up and up, and it is. They're promising all these jobs and everything. Hogwash. It's all building up, but it's engineered by the powers of darkness. It's the spirit of this age ushering in the Antichrist system. Now you are very fortunate, because your eyes are being opened to this. You are receiving revelation. Flesh and blood does not show you this. This comes by the Holy Spirit, preparing you, preparing me. And how is he doing it? He's delivering you from the trivia that still tries to hold you down in that fear and anxiety, frustrations. Because this is where the devil holds you. Those who will take the mark of the beast, some reluctantly, I would say half of society, the world, will reluctantly take the mark. But they'll take it because they're held by fear, by anxiety, depression. We have no other choice. Husband will come home first. And the wife will say, you haven't taken that mark, that ship. We have no other choice if we want to live and survive and our children to be fed. And she will have to go along and follow likewise. You can see how it's going to happen. You're being set free from this very thing that will cause people to have to take this. And remember, when they take it, they will be eternally damned. It's hell for them. Book of Revelation tells us clearly. Am I using scaremongering tactics? Well, some will say I am. If the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, can be ministered, then praise God. Because the wisdom is, you don't take it. And God will provide a way. He will give you a way of escape. God will. We see the woman that's left, who doesn't take the mark. She's preserved. She's kept. That's the mercy of God. So don't be held by it. Don't be controlled by it. And one of the biggest things is the finance. Money. God's trying to set some people free in this church from this accursed thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. The root of all evil. What is it? The love of it. Now, God says he doesn't... You need money to survive, to buy food. Of course you do. The question is, do you love it? Does it control you? That is the question. Jesus said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Like sending a camel through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. It's impossible. But what is impossible with God? What is impossible with man is possible with God. And how do we know that? Because we have the promises here. It's revealed. This is God's love letter to you and I. This is his love. and he's showing you. Yes, got some trials, praise the Lord. They're trivial in comparison to eternity. Somebody trying to get on your back, trivial in compared to eternity. Is somebody saying lies about you? It's trivial in compared to eternity. Let them get on with it. Let them get on with it. You seek something far greater, and that is the kingdom of God. And God said, if you seek that and put that first, all these things will be added unto you. All. To survive, to live, all of that will be added. He said, just put me first, and I'll supply all the rest. All the rest. So don't let the trivia dominate. Don't let it control anymore. Don't let the enemy blow it all out of proportion. How he loves to do that. Many of our major crimes, and even police would tell you this, have all started through something very minor and very small. Father, we thank you again this morning. Thank you that we need to hear this. No matter how far we go, how far we develop, mature in the faith, we still need to hear some of these basics. And I thank you for the deliverance that you have set this morning. It's simply very often a change of attitude, a change of mind. That's really often that's all that's needed. And all that anxiety, depression, fear, just suddenly it's like it lifts. It's just thrown off, cast away. Oh, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to set the captives free, and you are doing that, Lord. I thank you for this meeting today. I thank you for all those who have listened, not only here, but on the internet as well. I pray that they will be blessed abundantly. I pray your blessing, preservation upon us, this night and always, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.